Our gospel lesson this morning is from Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 34, or 44, and may be found in your pew Bible on page 46. Hear now these words. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had and all she had to live on." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
William and I are both from different traditions, and as you can tell, we're throwing out things that get a response in some churches, and they don't get the same response here, so we will work to teach you some of those and learn from you as well. Well, given our recent history in this church, I started out this week in preparation for preaching today with the intention of delivering a short sermon. Part of my reasoning was that like all interested preachers, I hope that when you listen to what I have to say, you'll want more and not less. I would hope that you would want to hear more rather than feeling like you wish that I had sat down 20 minutes ago. But then as I continued to wrestle with God's message for us today, I realized that my desire for brevity was also reflected in what God would have me say. Today, short and simple are the keys. God's word speaks for itself, and often the lesson is so simple that we sometimes miss it. But today I offer you a smattering of ideas because my goal is that you should think about God's message and how it speaks to you. When we first moved into our present home on Harvard Avenue in Aurora, we had hundreds of boxes of our belongings that had been unloaded into various rooms all over our house. We all worked to unpack boxes, but I've got to admit that Jane did the lion's share of unpacking. She is a wise woman, and she very wisely did not touch any of the boxes that were unloaded into my office downstairs. Those first few days, I opened each of these boxes to determine what kind of stuff was inside. There were many things that I pulled out of each box, stuff that I needed. But as you might have predicted, those boxes remain, for the most part, unpacked and forgotten almost 3 months after they were delivered by the moving company. How much of that stuff do I really need? If I haven't needed it for 3 months, do I need it at all? A second idea. As I was thinking about this sermon, my mind kept coming back to one line of one song that is stuck in my head. It is really the idea that made me tell the kids what I told them. The song is called "Soak Up the Sun" by Sheryl Crow from the CD of the same name. And the line is this: "It's not having what you want, it's wanting what you've got." Think about that. It's not having what you want, it's wanting what you've got. And now a story. When I first met Jane Anderson, we were both working as park rangers for the National Park Service at Denali National Park and Preserve in Interior Alaska. Jane lived in the cabin that she had helped to build on the boundary of the park. It was her home, and it was into that home that I moved when we were married. We were on a highway, which was a big thing for interior Alaska. But the closest grocery store was 125 miles away in Fairbanks. So we'd buy grocery two or three times during a summer. It had no electricity and no running water. We had propane lights, a propane stove, and a propane refrigerator. We hauled our water in from the park in 5-gallon containers, and we then heated water in pans in order to wash dishes. We heated the house with a wood stove. And at night, at 40 below, we thought twice about the walk out to the outhouse. We had a telephone, but no TV, no computer, and no newspaper. We had books, and we had each other, and we had God's incredible wilderness just outside our door. And I can honestly say that I have never been happier in my entire life than when I lived with Jane in her Alaskan cabin. On another note, I want to call your attention to a different scripture passage, Luke 12:13-31. I want to read it to you. I'll read it to you briefly. And if you want to follow along, it's in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 70, again from Luke. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be the judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. "The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, 'What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose shall they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures of themselves, but are not rich toward God." He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do a small thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Finally, I want you to think about one of the verses of the passage that William just read from Mark. "For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." It's really quite simple. The rich folks who donated to the synagogue, gave lots of money, but it represented a small percentage of all of that they had. But the widow, on the other hand, gave 100% of what she had, but it was a small amount. God is not asking any of us to give everything we have, but only a significant percentage of what is ours. So many of us who live the American way live way beyond our means. You've probably heard the statistics about how many of us are deep in debt to our credit card companies. Maybe as Christians we should consider not living beyond our means. Perhaps we ought to consider living well below our means. Just because we can afford something does not mean that we need it or that we have to buy it. What would it be like if we were to voluntarily choose a life of greater simplicity, to live a life of simple means simply for the sake of piety and holiness and sharing more with others? Living without the assumed overabundance of North American society would very quickly become the new reality, a new understanding of abundance, a new perspective on how much is enough and how much is too much. Living a simpler life might ultimately move us more toward the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. And it might help us to give more back to God. Amen.